Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3 bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.
Lowe's knows when you're looking for reliability, the right brand makes all the difference. And now, Lowe's is the exclusive home improvement retailer for the Whirlpool water treatment line, including their Wi-Fi softener, under-sink filtration system, and more. With Whirlpool's proven performance and our everyday low prices, better tasting, better quality water is within reach. Shop pro-trusted brands like Whirlpool and more, in-store or online. Lowe's. We help, you save.
Fasting is a powerful tool and technique, as you can see here, to gain spiritual breakthrough in the spiritual realm, whether it's being used for negativity and satanic demonic practices, whether it's also being used for Jesus, God, and things that pertain to the Christian faith and the Holy Spirit.
Hey, babe.
It's Aisha Christina. Nice to meet you.
This is Quality Queen Control.
What is happening?
Hey, angels. Make sure to head over to my website, aishachristina.com, to download my free guide on idolatry. I promise it's really going to bless you. If you are interested in preventing delay in your life and you want to get rid of certain idols, this is the guide for you. Click the link in the description box below.
Hello, angels. Happy Wednesday. How is everybody feeling? I feel like I'm to be taken so seriously in this blue blazer. Like, I don't know. Let me tell you something. I realize I love a white and navy blue combination. Like, I am living for it. I'm here for it. I want to jump right on into this episode today. We are going to be talking about the story of Esther, one of the most popular stories in the Bible, one that I was curious about myself, and I'm going to try and be as concise as I can without being here too long. You know what I'm saying? So I really like summarized everything up as best as I could. So the key characters here are going to be Esther, Mordecai, King, I don't know how to say his name, Xerxes, and Haman. And so Esther basically had a rise to queenship, and she was selected as queen because Queen Vashti was essentially removed. Now, this took place in Esther 1 verses 2. So, yes. So on the seventh day, it says in on chapter Esther 1 verse 10, Queen Vashti deposed. On the seventh day of the feast, when King Xerxes was in high spirits because of the wine, blame it on alcohol, he told seven eunuchs who attended to him, Mehuman, Bistha, Harbona, Bigtha, Abigtha, Zethar, and Carcass, to bring Queen Vashti to him with the royal crown on her head. He wanted the nobles and all the other men to gaze on her beauty, for she was a very beautiful woman. But when they conveyed the king's order to Queen Vashti, she refused to come. This made the king furious, and he burned with anger. He immediately consulted with his wise advisors, who knew all the Persian laws and customs, for he always asked their advice. The names of these men were Karshena, Sethar, Admatha, Tarshish, Maris, Marsena, and Memucan, or Memucan, seven nobles of Persia and Media. They met with the king regularly and held the highest positions in the empire. What must be done to Queen Vashti? The king demanded. What penalty does the law provide for a queen who refuses to obey the king's orders? Properly sent through his eunuchs. Memucan answered the king and his nobles, Queen Vashti has wronged not only the king, but also every noble citizen throughout your empire. Women everywhere will begin to despise their husbands when they learn that Queen Vashti has refused to appear before the king. Before this day is out, the wives of all the king's nobles throughout Persia and Media will hear what the queen did and will start treating their husbands the same way. There will be no end to their contempt and anger. So, if it please the king, we suggest you issue a written decree. A law of the Persians and Medes cannot be revoked. It should order that Queen Vashti be forever banished from the presence of King Xerxes, and that king should choose another queen more worthy than she. When this decree is published without king's vast empire, husbands everywhere, whatever their rank, will receive proper respect from their wives. The king and his nobles thought this made good sense, so he followed Memucan's counsel. He sent letters to all parts of the empire, to each province in its own script and language, proclaiming that every man should be the ruler of his home and should say whatever he pleases. Keep in mind, this is still the Old Testament. That was just context as to why there was a need for a new queen. And this was leading to Queen Esther's rise into her queenship. And so then we start to see that Esther, we start to learn more about her background, where she was actually a Jewish orphan raised by her cousin Mordecai. Then we begin to see that there's a plot against the Jews and Haman's rise to power and his plot to annihilate all of the Jews, which was in Esther 3, Mordecai and his reaction to appeal to Esther for help, okay, which is also in Esther 3. So I want to read some of that for you guys, skimming through. So sometime later, King Xerxes promoted Haman's son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, over the nobles, making him the most powerful official of the empire. All the king's officials will bow down before Haman to show him respect whenever he passed by, for so the king had commanded. But Mordecai refused to bow down or show him respect. Then the palace officials at the king's gate asked Mordecai, "Why are you disobeying the king's command?" They spoke to him day after day, but he still refused to comply with the order. So they spoke to Haman about this to see if he would tolerate Mordecai's conduct, since Mordecai had told him that he was a Jew. When Haman saw that Mordecai would not bow down or show him respect, he was filled with rage. He had learned of Mordecai's nationality, so he decided it was not enough to lay hands on Mordecai alone. Instead, he looked for a way to destroy all the Jews throughout the empire of Xerxes. So in the month of April, during the 12th year of King Xerxes' reign, the lots were called Purim to determine the best day and month to take action. And the day selected was March 7th, nearly a year later. Then Haman approached King Xerxes and said, "There's a certain race of people scattered through all the provinces of your empire who keep themselves separate from everyone else. Their laws are different from those of any other people, and they refuse to obey the laws of the king. So it is not in the king's interest to let them live. If it pleases the king, issue a decree that they be destroyed, and I will give 10,000 large sacks of silver to the government administrators to be deposited to the royal treasury." The king agreed, confirming his decision by removing his signet ring from his finger and giving it to Haman, son of Hammedatha, the Agagite, the enemy of the Jews. The king said, "The money and the people are both yours to do with as you see fit." So April 17th, the king's secretaries were summoned and a decree was written exactly as Haman dictated. It was sent to the king's highest officers, the governors of the respective provinces, and the nobles of each province in their own scripts and languages. The decree was written in the name of King Xerxes and sealed with the king's signet ring. Dispatches were sent by swift messengers into all the provinces of the empire, giving the order that all Jews, young and old, including women and children, must be killed, slaughtered, and annihilated on a single day. Wow. This was scheduled to happen on March 7th of the next year. The property of the Jews would be given to those who killed them. A copy of this decree was to be issued as law in every province and proclaimed to all people so that they would be ready to do their duty on the appointed day. And the king's command, the decree went out and by swift messengers, and it was also proclaimed in the fortress of Susa. Then the king and Haman sat down to drink, but the city of Susa fell into confusion. So now we see in verses 4, where you see that Mordecai now requests Esther's help. So when Mordecai had learned about all these things that's been done, okay, He went into a bitter wail, it says, a loud and bitter wail. Okay. And we see significantly in chapters 4, verse 15 through 16, she says her famous words, "If I perish, I perish." This shows the significance of her bravery. What do I mean by this? Well, actually, I'm going to start from 13. Mordecai sent this reply to Esther. "Don't think for a moment that because you're in this palace, you will escape when all the Jews are killed. If you keep quiet at a time like this, deliverance and relief for the Jews will arise from some other place." Remember, she was a Jew, okay? "But you and your relatives will die." So now a decree has been made in the palace to kill Jews. She is a Jew. She's now a queen. Because Queen Vashti was deposed, and who knows if perhaps you were made queen for such a time as this. This is so powerful to me. How many times are you called, or do you feel like God has called you to speak on behalf of something? I love this saying. Who knows if perhaps you were made queen for such a time as this? Who knows if you were made for such a time as this? The ministry that you're supposed to go in, the word that you were supposed to be speaking that the Holy Spirit has given to you. Verses 15, "Then Esther said, sent this reply to Mordecai, 'Go and gather together all the Jews of Susa and fast for me. Do not eat or drink for 3 days, night or day. My maids and I will do the same.'" Let me tell you something about the spiritual laws. When it comes to fasting, it is very, very powerful, okay? When you are fasting, it is a powerful technique. When you are fasting, trust me when I tell you that you will see breakthrough in fasting. Let me also let you guys know this. When you are fasting, you can also fast towards evil things. This is why when it comes to demonic practices, they require a cleansing, right? They want you to wear white for a year. They want you to do spiritual baths where you're pouring all these herbs and water that are demon prayed over. Okay, that are demonically, you know, and it seems innocent. It seems like, oh, it's just herbs and it's water. These things have been used and prayed over with the intention of summoning demons into your life. And a lot of these herbalists and these spiritualist people, what they do is they know the herbs to create, but they also invoke spirits in them that also give you problems as well, so that you can then come back to them. And that's what keeps their business going. So think about that. A lot of these spiritual people, they like to act like they're helping you. They like to act like, oh, this is a good thing. All these different things. They're not. They're lying. Do not fall for that those types of tricks and things. All you need, and you can make your own anointed oil. You don't have to go anywhere special to get any sort of anointed oil. You make your own anointed oil. You pray over it. You consecrate it. With it, even, end of story. But fasting is a powerful tool and technique, as you can see here, to gain spiritual breakthrough in the spiritual realm, whether it's being used for negativity and satanic demonic practices, whether it's also being used for Jesus, God, and things that pertain to the Christian faith and the Holy Spirit. Remember those principles. This is where she says, I'm reading the New Living Translation, "My maids and I will do the same. And then, though it is against the law, I will go in to see the king. If I must die, I must die." So Mordecai went away and did everything as Esther had ordered for him. So we can see here in this verse that she's willing to die for this. She's willing to die. She's like, hey, listen, if I perish, I perish. I go. It is what it is. But I need to stand on behalf of my people. I need to defend the Jews. I need to make sure that this decree is not passed and that my people are persecuted when I am a Jew myself and I am in a position to stop this from potentially happening. And hey, it's a scary thing to be in, right? Because here she was appointed into this queenship somehow, and people don't even really know this, that she was a Jew, and now a decree is sent against her own people. What does she do? She could have stayed silent and been like, sorry, but that's you guys' problem. I'm gonna just keep it cute and put it on mute. But no, she was brave in spite of, and she went anyway. So Esther made a very courageous decision to approach the king and risk her life, okay? Then we have the two banquets that Esther prepared for the king and Haman, right? Which is in chapters 5 and 7. And then Then we see how Esther revealed her Jewish identity and she exposed Haman's plot. Because remember, in chapter 5, verse 3, the king asks, "What do you want, Queen Esther? What is your request? I will give it to you, even if it's half of the kingdom." And Esther replied, "If it please the king, let the king and Haman come today to a banquet I have prepared for the king." So then, obviously, the banquet is being prepared. The king turned to his attendants and said, "Tell Haman to come quickly to a banquet as Esther requested." So the king and Haman went to Esther's banquet. And while they were drinking wine, the king said to Esther, "Now tell me what you really want. What is your request? I will give it to you, even if it's half the kingdom." He's saying, "Listen, baby, I'll give you anything you want." In the words of T.I., "You can have whatever you like. Yeah, stacks on deck." And that's as far as I'm going to go. Esther replied, "This is my request and my deepest wish. If I have found favor with the king, and if it pleases the king to grant my request and do what I ask, please come with Haman tomorrow to the banquet I will prepare for you. Then I will explain what this is all about." So then we see that Haman has a plan to kill Mordecai. So Haman, he was a happy man when he left the banquet. But then he saw Mordecai sitting at the palace gate, okay, not standing up or trembling nervously before him, and Haman became furious. I mean, wow. However, he restrained himself and went on home. Haman gathered together his friends and Zeresh, his wife, and boasted to them about his great wealth and his many children. He bragged about the honors the king had given him and how he had been promoted over all the nobles and the officials. Then Haman added, "And that's not all. Queen Esther invited only me and the king himself to a banquet she had prepared for us. And she has invited me to dine with her and the king tomorrow." Then he added, "But this is all worth nothing as long as I see Mordecai, the Jew, just sitting there at the palace gate." So Haman's wife, Zeresh, and all his friends suggested, "Set up a sharpened pole that stands 75 feet tall, and in the morning, ask the king to impale Mordecai on it. When this is done, you can go on your merry way to the banquet with the king." This pleased Haman, and he ordered the pole to be set up. Unbelievable. Okay, so now actually we see in Esther 7, the king asked her again, basically like, "What do you want? Even if it's half of the kingdom, I will give it to you." And Queen Esther responded and said, "If I have found favor with the king, and if it pleases the king to grant my request, I ask that my life and the lives of my people will be spared. For my people and I have been sold to those who would kill, slaughter, and annihilate us. If we have merely been sold as slaves, I should remain quiet, for that would be too trivial of a matter to warrant to disturb the king." So then King Xerxes says, "Who would do such a thing? Who would be so presumptuous to touch you?" Esther replied, "This wicked Haman is our adversary and our enemy." Haman grew pale with fright before the king and queen. Then the king jumped to his feet with rage and went out the palace garden. So now we see that he's obviously upset. Like, you're not about to sit here and kill my queen and her people. I'm gonna do whatever she says. You heard? So this is also how her Jewish identity was exposed. She literally identified as a Jew and said what she said to the king, King Xerxes. And it's so funny because then the chapter concludes where the same pole that Haman had put up, the 75-foot pole to impale Mordecai on, he ended up getting impaled on himself, okay? People were saying the king was ordering for him to be impaled on it himself. And this just goes to show that sometimes when you plot and plan for other people's evil, be very careful because it will turn around, and what you meant for evil, God will turn it around for that person's good, and you will end up seeing the terror and the vitriol that you intended for others. You will see that reflected in your life and boomerang back to you. Be very careful. And this is why it's so important that we do not, you know, seek these weird spiritual people and all these different spiritualists and all these different witches and warlocks and whatever else is out there, tarot readers, all these different people, these light workers and whatever they want to name themselves these days. Because at the end of the day, it is definitely divination, and you don't want these things to boomerang back on you. You know what I mean? Or if you were trying to get a love spell, a love potion, you want to make someone fall in love with you, all these different things, trust and believe it'll boomerang back into your life. And you actually open up legal doors that truly affect your entire bloodline. They literally affect your bloodline, where you can curse your entire bloodline through engaging in practices like this, because the doors that divination opens up is absolutely insane. It's a whole new spiritual world that you get opened up to. Food for thought, I digress. So yes, then we see that, as we know, Esther had a lot of courage and faith, okay? And Esther is the example of courage and faith in God's plan. Not only did she fast and pray with her maids, but she, think about this back in the day, you guys. Think about, and I'm trying to tell the story as simple as I can. Think about if you were in a position and they did not know that you were, you know what I mean? Let's just say you were someone that was maybe biracial or something like that. And they did not know that you were, you know, you would be considered white passing. And let's just say they did not know that you were, you know, biracial, and you ended up getting selected as queen. And imagine a decree was sent out to murder all minorities or whatever, and you are a black person, and you're just like, okay, what do I do? Do I speak up? Because it is so easy in these moments to want to just kind of just shut up and just be like, okay, like, I don't want to step on any toes. I know I'm in a great position here. I don't want to ruin anything. Do I stand up for justice, or do I just stay silent? This is a prime example. Esther is an example of someone that is speaking up on behalf of generations. She is someone that has risen up to the occasion. She is someone that is a true queen. Perhaps she was made for such a time as that. Absolutely. What Mordecai had said to her, she was made exactly for such a time as that. And I want that to serve as encouragement for you guys, that perhaps you were made for such a time as this. Do not shut up with your gifts, with the things that the Holy Spirit has given you. It's just like me. Imagine, the world needs each of us in our own unique footprint, our own unique delivery. There's not going to be another you. There's not going to be another me. So why are we trying to be like everyone else? Why are we trying to be other people? There's no reason to be other people. There's so many lessons that we can learn from Queen Esther, that you, when you're in the face of adversity, do you rise up and do you speak for justice on behalf of certain situations? Or do you try and blend in with the crowd and just let things overshadow you? Perhaps you were made for such a time as this. Imagine the messages and the things that God has put in your spirit. And imagine if you were to withhold those gifts. Yes, God will anoint someone else, but he anointed you. He anointed you to do these things. And imagine if you were to hold your gifts from the world. What a tragedy. But not so. That is not something that Queen Esther did in any capacity. She was someone that exemplified courage. She exemplified faith in God and in God's plan. This is why we have to make sure that we are seeking God's strength and taking bold steps in our lives when it comes to standing up for the right thing. I never would have thought that I would end up doing stuff like this on YouTube. I never could have ever imagined this. And here, God, you guys are witnessing it. I'm just going forth. I'm just doing it. I'm just doing it. It was not my intention. I never said, hey guys, I actually think I'm going to officially start preaching sermons essentially on my podcast. Like, no, that was never on my mind at all. But God will really supply you with everything that you need. God will supply you with the boldness that you need to go after the things that you need to go after. God will provide you. Wherever he guides, he will provide. He will never leave you nor forsake you. I want you guys to remember that. And that is what this story really is about and what it has exemplified. God was working behind the scenes as well to accomplish his promises, right? Everything is about entrusting God's timing and his sovereignty, okay? Standing up for justice, and Esther's role in standing up for her people was advocating for justice for her people. Can you imagine handling a mantle such as that? So when it comes to our own qualities in our own lives, how can you embody Esther-like qualities? What do you need to speak up about? Sharing the word on campus, at school. It doesn't matter if people look at you. See, the thing is, it says in the Bible too that we will, in the last days, good will be viewed as evil and evil will be viewed as good in the last days. So all these things that sound, you have people, look at Noah's Ark. Everyone was laughing at him. You're building an ark for what? Okay, yeah. There's going to be a storm. It hasn't rained in how long? Oh, okay. And you're okay, and you're gathering one of each animal and you're okay. So this guy is loony. Whatever. I don't really think that he's literally saying like God's going to like flood the earth. He's like building this giant ark. He's like so ridiculous. Like he's delusional. We feel so far removed from these things because we're reading about it, but we are part of history too. And one day people are going to be reading about us. Okay. People are going to be reading about the pandemic that had occurred. Okay. People are going to be reading about that. And one day that might seem so outlandish. I mean, it still seems outlandish and we experienced it. We lived through it. Think about that. Just think about it. Think about what sounds so crazy to you. And a lot of the times I find that sometimes people say things that might seem a little bit out there, but they happen to be true. And it's easy to shun these people away and to act like, oh my gosh, yeah, they're just like not really all there and write them off because you don't want to hear the truth. Mm. And that happens to a lot of celebrities too. They want to make them seem like, oh, they're just crazy. They just lost their mind. Like they don't know what they're talking about, but they do. It's a little bit of both, honestly. Back to what I was saying. So yes, Esther embodies qualities of bravery. She embodies faith, okay? And advocacy in everyday life. All right. So like I said, this includes speaking out against injustice, supporting marginalized communities, trusting in God's plan. That's what she was doing in that moment. Overcoming our fear. Like me, I was very nervous, you know, like, oh my gosh, how is this going to be received? Like I'm completely switching gears here with my content, all these different things. How are people going to receive this? It's scary to make a pivot such as this. It's everyone knows you don't talk about religion and politics. And here I am talking about religion. Here I am. Never would have thought this would have been me. But God is amazing. And he really allowed me to overcome my fear. And just he still continues to provide me with the boldness that I need in order to carry a mantle such as this. We can overcome our fear, face our fear, face challenges with the same faith and determination that Esther showed. The same God that rose Jesus from the grave lives in us. The same spirit lives in us. Think about that. So when it comes to our lives in modern days, I want you guys to leave considering this. I want you guys to think about what challenges am I in the midst of? What challenges am I facing that I need to approach with an Esther mindset, a biblical mindset? What do I need to speak up about, speak up against? Who do I need to support? What am I supporting? So it's important that we always seek God first in all the things that we do, that we focus on strengthening our prayer life, fasting for breakthrough, fasting for a connection, a word from the Holy Spirit, fasting to break down strong holes, break down strong man, the strong man. Fasting is going to help be your key, bring you into deeper intimacy with Jesus and the Holy Spirit. Jesus literally said that he will send his Holy Spirit as an advocate on his behalf when he leaves the earth. He leaves, but he's sending his Holy Spirit as his advocate. And that same Holy Spirit is still very much alive and active now. So I want to close with prayer. Father God, in the name of Jesus, I ask that you give us guidance, strength, and the courage to lead and serve faithfully. Help us to be a good steward of all that you have entrusted us with. Give us the boldness to be able to decree a thing and it will happen. Give us the boldness to speak up against certain injustices. Give us the boldness to be able to speak your word. Give us the boldness to walk into whatever office that you have ordained for us. Reveal those things to those that feel confused and like they don't know their purpose. Show yourself to them, Lord God. Give us the spirit of Esther, of courage, of faith, of standing up for injustice. And Father, we thank you in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. That is the end of this podcast episode, angels. Thank you guys so much for joining me. Do not forget that I love you and God loves you. And I'll speak to you beautiful angels in my next episode. Mwah.
Brand new luxury apartments. If you're in the market, listen. Brand new luxury apartments. Champion has a new property, River Park of Dublin, which is a mile south of Dublin. Location is everything. Spacious 1, 2, and 3-bedroom homes, designer finishes, resort-style amenities, exceptional customer service. That's Champion. Champion's brand new luxury apartments, River Park of Dublin. Now do something about it. Visit livewithchampion.com. Livewithchampion.com.